remember that show Whammy? Did you ever watch that in reruns?
We're younger than you.
Yeah, I know. I watched it in reruns.
Oh.
No. Don't immediately go to age, Chana.
Do you mean Press Your Luck?
Yeah, Press Your Luck. That's right. What I meant.
See? Right, with the evil little red goblin.
It's not about age,
but
Chana.
I think they brought that back. I think I recently saw it when I went home with my mom.
All right.
No whammy, no whammy, no whammy.
Right. Stop. My point is, today we got a double whammy.
Oh, I see what you're doing there.
Okay, we got Spielberg.
Start with the joke.
We got Spielberg and Cohen here.
Yes.
They are, of course, made famous by sitting on a couch and annoying each other and everybody who watches.
Yes.
They took their cue from Stiller and Mira, who did the same thing. And now they're here. And the reason they're here, not only because they're friends, and I'm friends with both of them, and they're friends with me, and we're all friends, is because they both moved to New York City for their freshman year of college. And I thought, let's put them together and see how their experience was. And I will eventually stop talking. I promise. I will eventually let them start talking, but not quite yet. So let's wait for it.
Are you asking me to cut you off?
Let's wait for it. Okay.
Okay. And scene.
Chana Spielberg.
Yes.
No, you don't have to do it. It's not. You're not confessing anything.
Okay.
It's not like that. You're not slating an audition. You're not slating an audition.
For the record, can you tell us your name and the date of this interview?
My name. Oh no. Okay. So yes, I'm Chana, not Max. And I feel like I have to they'll know the difference between us from.
But it doesn't hurt.
Okay. I moved to New York in August. It was August 28th, 2005, to go to New York University. Do you just want the date right now, or do I have to, tell you things?
Keep talking.
Okay. So my father and I flew from Nashville to New York the night before move-in day. My mom did not join us because she will tell you she would have been too distraught. Are you raising your hand or wanting a high five?
What's up?
A little bit of both. Actually, question about moving to New York for school. Did you apply to other New York schools?
No. I applied to Syracuse and Indiana University and New York University.
Interesting.
So basically you were saying you're going to New York no matter what because you knew you weren't going to go to Indiana or something.
Yes.
Okay. What about you? Did you apply to other New York schools?
No, and I've been reflecting on that lately. Why I knew I wanted to be in New York. But I don't know why I didn't even think to apply to NYU, Hunter, anything.
Well, because you're a Jew and you went to, Jew school, right?
Right. I went to very nerdy Jew
school. Yeah, but Jew school in New York is not hard to find. He could have applied to a lot of Jew
schools. Right, NYU has a lot of nerdy Jews.
But people don't go to NYU to be more Jewish.
Oh, my God. I didn't even realize that was a nickname. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's what we call her. Well, I don't call myself.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes. So
had you been here before?
So I believe it was a year or two before I graduated high school. My aunt lived in Westchester, and we were here for a holiday. Oh, a holiday? No, it was my cousin's bar mitzvah in Hastings-on-Hudson. And my mom was like, let's go down for a day trip. You'll do the tour of NYU, see if you like it. And I was like, I got very serious. And I had this set in my head. I was like, Mom, I have to figure this out on my own. I'll let you take the train into the city with me, but then you're going to let me go.
How old were you?
I was 17, I guess, 16, 17. And I was like, I got to figure it out. I got to get on a subway. I ended up hopping on the 6 train going uptown. I was supposed to go downtown from Grand Central. So first mistake, learned, never made that mistake again. Came down to NYU all by myself. It was winter break or something, so no one was around. So I didn't get to go on any tours. I didn't see any students. I literally got off at the Astor Place stop. Somehow, in 2004, I guess it must have been, found my way to Washington Square Park. I sat there for a minute, and I was like, this is where I want to go to school.
Wow. That's so spiritual.
It was a very spiritual experience.
Yeah.
And I went over to the Tisch School, and I was like, yep, that's where I'm going to go.
For acting?
Yes.
Did you know it was really hard to get into?
I don't even remember at the time, but I did get out. I was waitlisted, and when I got that news that day, I sobbed. My mother came into my room, and I was like, there's nothing you can do. I don't Looking back on it, I was a very dramatic kid.
I don't have to look back on it. I just have to look at you.
But I feel like I always made these grand statements, like, yeah. I'm going to go and let me be by myself. And then
nothing you say matters.
Yes. Well, that's basically what I said to her. I was like, there's nothing you can say right now that will take away the devastation of not going to NYU.
You and my older sister would get along very, very well.
Why? The one because in we're Vail, both Colorado. Bipolar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what you are? I've been trying to place you. I thought it was manic, like, slightly autistic.
Wow.
Could be.
This is a room of friends here. This is how you know.
Yes, we are friends for now.
Depends how the rest of this interview goes. Yes.
So I got on the wait list and I was very depressed. I was like, fine, I guess I'll go to Indiana University because I got in like October. They have like rolling admissions and it was my safety school. And then for some reason I did this weird essay, and I don't know, this is part of my autism or something, I guess. I wrote an essay
about Qantas Airlines.
No, it was
the Rain Man joke, Max.
Oh, okay.
Nothing. No.
All I know is 249 matchsticks. Judge Wapner.
I don't know where I got this idea, but I wrote an essay to NYU saying, thank you for not accepting me to your school. Now I can pursue my love of mortuary science.
Oh my God.
And I wrote an entire essay comparing what it would be like to go to theater school to what it would be like to be a mortician, and like the costume design and the makeup and the lighting.
Wow.
And how, like,
that's pretty brilliant.
And when I like would make up the people, I would talk to them and give them voices and backstories. And I sent it to them like a fucking psycho. And like a week later, I got a call saying I got in off the wait list.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And so they like psychos there, huh?
Yeah. So needless to say, I'm an NYU psycho.
Well, they were probably like, all right, so what have we learned from Hitler getting rejected from art school?
Well, I have so much in common. Yeah.
So you'd only been in New York a handful of times before. Like, what was your adjustment like? Your dad drops you off. What did Neil Spielberg act like when he dropped you off?
Neil Spielberg, you wouldn't know this about him from looking at him. He's a very emotional person. He's very sentimental. Mm-hmm. So like I said, my mother was too distraught to even get on the plane to come help. Like, she dropped us off at the airport and I thought she was dying. Like from her soul, she was like hysterical, crying. She had to pull over on the side of the road on her way back to the house because she was like too distraught. Mm-hmm. She's a mess. So we get off the plane, we go to our hotel. They like recommended a hotel for move-in day, like, oh, if you're coming in a day early, here's a hotel. And that's when I was like started to get an idea. It was down in the financial district, so nowhere near campus. Right. Typical. And it was like a box. And my dad and I were like, how are the two of us going to fit in here with all my luggage for college? Mm. But we did it for one night. The next day we woke up and we stood in a lot of lines because mm-hmm. there was a line to get a key. Meanwhile, my dad had to just stand with my luggage because we couldn't schlep it in all the lines. Right. You really needed three people that day. Right.
Your
minimum.
Mom would have been helpful had she not been Niagara Falls.
Right, exactly. Three people would have been great. Four would have been perfect if my brother could have come. No, it was just Neil and I. So Neil, his job was to sit there. My job was to stand in line for about an hour to get my key. Then once I got the key, I had to go stand in another line to wait for the elevator to be able to bring my stuff up to my room.
Mm.
Or you could take the stairs. And I was on the 15th floor. And Neil was
with
like,
all that stuff.
Neil was like, you'll wait in line. Yep. And I was like, okay. Halfway through the second line, it started raining.
Are there like RAs?
Was it outside?
With the process?
Yes.
You just like left on your own?
No. There was definitely like people facilitating.
And the line was outside?
And the line was outside.
Because there's no room inside in New York.
Right.
Barely
and
room outside.
My freshman dorm was on 5th Avenue and 10th Street.
Nice.
Before I came to school, my mother was like, take it in. That's the first and only time you'll ever live on 5th Avenue.
Oh my God. She was nice. Like,
wow, yeah. Negative Nelly.
I love how she managed to stop crying for a minute to criticize your life choices. Oh, that miss you so much. Oh, yeah, no.
You're going to be poor forever.
You've really chosen something stupid.
Yeah. So that was me getting into the building. And then when I got there, I walked in to my roommates. I lived with two Asian girls in a low-cost triple because when you get in off the wait list, the pickings are slim. Not to say that the Asian people were my slim pickings, but the room was.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
You didn't like your roommates, did you?
You know what? We had a mutual respect for one another. It was definitely a learning experience.
Right. Were you in a bunk or were you like in a corner or what?
We tried a few different formats throughout the year. So when you first walk in, there was one single and a bunk bed, and we're like, this isn't going to work. So then, I don't know why, but the first night, we decided to sleep, like, right next to each other. Like, the three beds were, like, nearly touching.
Ew.
And I woke up, and I was in the middle.
Cooties.
Yeah.
You were in the middle?
It was weird. So the next day, I moved the bed over, and we had, like, a beautiful layout from there on in, but the first night was rough.
What do you think, I mean, it's hard to separate the two. What was a bigger adjustment, college or New York City? Because I don't know, it would be hard to move here to for college, I think.
I really can't separate the two, which I'm happy about.
Yeah.
I feel bad for people that graduate college and move here.
Yeah,
it's hard. I don't know how they do it.
It's another big whammy.
Yes.
Wow, way to tie it back. Because it was nice, when you graduate, you already have a circle of friends. I'm sure a lot of people like leave for Teach for America, grad school, go back home with their parents or whatever. But you do have people in your class
really
that stay in the
friends,
city.
Like, you said Teach for America in grad school. I was like...
Mm-hmm. I knew people who applied for that. I forget if they got into it or not. Because I did not stay in touch with all those people.
Yeah, also...
But people stay here in New York, so you have people to talk to and have roommates when you get out.
Yeah, yes. And also, when you're in college, you have, like, a to-do list. Like, I have to go stand in this line. Now I have to go stand in that line. Now I have to go to that class. So it doesn't make New York as big and vacant and scary, because you just, when you have something to do, you're focusing on that.
You also have, like, with freshmen, especially with freshmen, you have, like, social programs. And in New York City, the social program is, like, let's go to Into the Woods. Let's go to a Yankees game. So it takes you to, like, some of the New York cultural highlights right away. So it's not an intimidating to-do list by yourself. You're going with the whole freshman class or your floor or whatever. So it's just a built-in social circle to start with.
Right.
Yes. Which really eases the transition.
So, Max, speaking of transition, let's transition to your transition.
from woman to man, the story of Max. That's not true at all. That was
what
weird.
That means. Is that a birth thing?
No, no, transition, like sexually transition.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
transgender.
Okay, right.
My mom was not crying when she got
she was like partying.
No, actually, she was upset but enthusiastic and encouraging. She's... Again, back to the Jewish mom. She's, like, my biggest fan and supporter. She's awesome. My dad got excited for me as soon as he got a good parking spot in New York. That always makes a dad happy. A good parking spot. All right. It's going to be a good 4 years, son. Go for it.
Parking spots set the tone.
Yeah,
absolutely. For life. For lifetime.
He was not so excited for me because I had to take out all these loans, and they offered to help, and they took out some loans to help pay for it. And
well, that's nice of them.
Like I said, I was very fortunate that they're really supportive, but I did pass up a free ride at University of Maryland.
And they were pissed about that.
Yeah. But once my dad got into the dorm and he saw all the people I was around and how excited I was, he was like, all right, this is good enough. Okay. And they were great, but my mom's still up, and even though she was encouraging up to the last minute, said, it's not too late for you to come back. You can still go to Maryland. It's not too late. But I was in a similar situation with a triple, and I was the last one to get there. So I got the lofted bed, and the other two had got the single bed. So I was like, crap. But
what was your thought when you saw two roommates?
I knew I had two roommates. Like, they told me from the start, here are your two roommates, and so we emailed a little bit about who was bringing what.
Well,
if we
did
were
you have
TV.
Facebook? Sorry to cut you off. Did you have Facebook when you started college?
No. Although, I think Facebook at that point was open to the Ivy League school, so I think a few people had it, but it was 2003. It was still not really popular. It was still just a small networking thing.
It was called
thing.
The Facebook?
Yes.
It was the,
yeah.
Well, I think Facebook started... Like, it's the year, it became more popular, like, the year before I went to school, and it was when only college kids could be on it, so you had to have a college email address to get on the Facebook, and so that was, like, the big thing. When you got your NYU email, you got to go on the Facebook and friend all your high school friends, but at the time, it was segregated to your school, so if they knew you went to NYU, you could click on your dorm. I was in Reuben. Oh. And you could go, and it, like, told you if what floor. And I got to, like, look at all the boys, and that's when I learned I was going to be going to school with a bunch of gay men. Mm. And
perfect.
It was perfect. And yeah, so that's how I got to meet roommates. It was definitely, I think, the beginning of that.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I got to college, Facebook was still only for Ivy League schools. And it was like a big debate amongst the Ivy League like schools, like, oh, should we open up to like other tier schools? And I was like, this doesn't matter to me at all. But apparently it was very important. And it was a big breakthrough when they opened it up. So I went in and I had a triple with two guys, and very nerdy. I liked them a lot. My people.
Were they all in the Jewish program?
Yes. I went to Columbia and the Jewish Theological Seminary. And so
when
I
you say and.
It was a joint program, so I concurrently studied two bachelor's degrees.
We get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're smart. We get it.
Fat lot of good it does me now.
That's true.
That's very true.
I don't see any diamonds on my neck.
Yeah,
his
but it,
wink, wink, Max.
I'm uncomfortable.
Pearl necklace. Emerald?
Well, we can discuss that later.
Emerald.
Max.
Ew. Oh, I didn't even get that.
Ew.
This is my workplace.
But it's after everyone's gone. But anyway, so I always lived in JTS housing, which was always the envy of the Columbia and Barnard kids because it was so much nicer. You know, when you only have to house 30 people.
They probably have richer investors.
Richer investors. You only have to house, I think the whole undergraduate school is only like 200-some students as opposed to like Columbia's like 2,000.
Right.
You just have a lot fewer rooms to furnish. It was great. My two roommates was a delightfully weird guy who would just like, I think I was telling you before, would just like perch on the furniture.
Is he still
what?
Single and
what do you mean perch?
Yes.
Like
yeah.
A parrot?
Yeah. I would come back and he would just be standing on top of the.
This is Chana's type, guys.
Yeah, the armoire
which,
dresser.
By the way, is a good sign because you should have seen her type last week.
Yikes.
Turkeys. Anyway.
It wasn't a type. It was a one-day.
It was a gobble neck.
It was a gobble type.
Yeah.
Wasn't
the guy gobbled like a turkey.
I didn't
in
like,
and out.
I didn't
in and
know
out.
That going into the date.
No, but the picture, he was really straining forward.
I know. Well, I thought it was a bad thing.
She definitely has a type. Yeah. Definitely has a type.
But hopefully she's breaking it.
Yeah, she is. She is.
No,
she likes the perchers.
The new guy's a percher too? Oh, man.
Anyway.
So he would literally stand on the edge of the seat?
No, he would get on top of the dresser, like, you know, six...
On the dresser?
On the dresser, yeah.
Jeez.
Like the nice hanging dresser.
That is so upsetting to you, Vicky.
Because that is what cats do, and squirrels. Squirrels,
squirrels
do that.
Perching on
he actually drew squirrels.
Oh, is that weird? I just thought it was a New York thing.
If I recall, he drew squirrels while perched on top of the dresser.
He drew squirrels? Did he want to be a rabbi or a cantor?
No, he was... At the time, I think freshman year, he wanted to be a Serbian translator. That was his big goal. He did like a high school summer in Serbia, helping the kids.
So he thought he was like in a war zone. So he was like perching.
Yeah, he was hiding. But no, if he was in a war zone, he should be ducking under the bed. And the other roommate ended up being, this will sound weird, the first guy to ever break my heart.
But not the last.
But not the last.
Why did he break your heart?
He ended up being one of my best friends in college. We were very close. We actually went to Israel. We went to Birthright together.
That's serious.
Yeah, it was just like another friend of ours who went to Israel.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But
him.
But no.
But
no.
We're all in the joke here.
Yeah, but no one kicked me in the shins. So
no. Okay.
Get it? Cause all right. But we went to Israel. And this guy, he had a lot of like mental instability issues. And apparently,
wow, you really have a theme
you have
with
a
your
type
friendships.
Too.
Yeah, I have a type for friends. It's
you have horrible friends. This is actually an intervention about your taste in people.
And all my friends of friends are going to come in being like, Max, you need better
and
first
me and
round
Chad
friends.
And are going to be like, you're all horrible, and you need to leave the room.
This is why I'm joining the urban family. Good friends.
Cousin Tendril, let's not get carried away.
What?
Nothing.
She said Cousin Tendril.
That's what we call people before they're fully initiated. I was a Cousin Tendril.
Cousin Tendril. Okay.
Well, if you ask Jessica, I'm still not a member.
So we went to Israel, and I noticed on the last day or so of the trip, he was not talking to me as much. And even when I got back, I said, okay.
Why? Did you hook up with somebody? Was he jealous?
Well, as I later found out from a friend of ours back in the dorm, he said, or the friend said that I betrayed him in Israel by not spending more time with him.
So he was jealous.
He was jealous because he just stayed in the hotel room the entire time and never went out to, like, mingle and socialize. So I said...
That's the worst.
I was like, hey... So I spent time with him. And then after an hour or two, I was like, hey, Feinberg, let's go to the lobby and hang out.
So Jewish. Is he single still, too?
I don't know. I haven't spoken to him in...
Since he broke your heart?
Yeah. So we came... So he was betrayed that I didn't spend the entire night in the hotel room hanging out with him as opposed to going around Israel, like, meeting people and hanging out, having fun. And so I tried really hard to get back in touch, you know, get him to talk to me and work things out, and he just refused.
You still had to live together.
At this point, we were, like, on the same floor, but separate, separate room. But we all, like, had the same social circle. So it was just really weird to show up to a Friday night dinner. And he was there.
So Jewish.
Yeah. And I'd show up, and he would, like, walk out and leave the room. And he would, like, badmouth me to my girlfriend at the time, be like, I can't believe you're dating him.
Girlfriend.
How could you be with him?
You didn't have a girlfriend.
I actually had two in college.
Okay. That's a lie.
One of them was a disaster, and I confided in my best friend about how terrible the relationship was. And then, like, 3 weeks after I broke up with her, the best friend came up to me and said, we should be more than friends. And that was the second girlfriend.
You confided in the girl's best friend?
In my best friend, who happened to be a girl.
Oh.
Are you still best friends with her?
No.
But what was the ending of that?
But she's happily married, and we'll be seeing her at the wedding.
Oh, okay. Great.
So that'll be super fun.
There's a Sunday wedding because Jews complicate everything.
I know. I got a great new suit. It comes in Thursday. I'm so excited.
And it comes in blue.
No, it's great. It's spectacular. But anyway, so I confided. Yeah, we were always best friends.
I turned to something more.
Yeah. One time we went to the Jewish Museum. They had a Maurice Sendak exhibit, the guy who did... The guy who did Where the Wild Things Are. And we went. It was me, my girlfriend, and the best friend. And the girlfriend was so annoying, I just hung out with the good friend.
Is this why you were going out with the girlfriend?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the girlfriend got mad at me. She's like, I can't believe I felt like a third wheel on my own date. And I was like, well, don't be such a buzzkill and annoying the whole time.
That's really romantic.
Yeah. It was a lot of reasons that first relationship didn't work out. But yeah, she's fine now. We talk on Chit Chat.
Do you need to talk more about your relationships and all the details?
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, so back. So, so back to Feinberg breaking my heart. So he refuses to talk to me.
Right. Back to the real love.
Back to the important relationship. So we went through the rest of college not speaking on terrible terms. No, we didn't live together after freshman year. Mm-hmm. But it was like, this was a guy I thought I was very close to. This is one of the first friends I made in college.
Yeah.
Even my mom wanted us to be gay. Like, he lived in Virginia, so we would take the bus back home together. And my mom was just like, listen, just say you're gay with Feinberg. It's okay. I'd still love you.
Oh. Your mom's very intuitive.
We wrote poems. we wrote poems and songs to each other. There was a lot of evidence there.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Say one right now.
Well, I don't remember them.
Like, why would...
But, like all right, so, like,
give me
one,
like, an example.
So 1 year for my birthday... a friend put...
you have the worst birthdays. Go on.
Yeah. 1 year for a birthday, someone put tissue paper all over my door, and she just gave markers to friends. So they just wrote on the door little notes.
Is this your best
friend
that became your girlfriend?
I think it was actually my girlfriend at the time. The best friend wrote the note, Dear Max, fuck you. Happy birthday.
Okay.
And then Feinberg wrote... We took up about a half of the door, just writing every little inside joke, every little ditty we ever sang to each other. It was very romantic. And then he broke my heart. Somehow we got in touch a year after he graduated college, and he was studying at University of Maryland for a graduate degree. And I met him coming home for Rosh Hashanah. And so he said, like, I just want to let you know I don't blame you for anything you did. And I was like, I still don't know what I did.
Yeah, what did you do?
And
is
he's like,
mentally unstable?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was just
is
like,
he medicated?
Just, I hope by now he is.
Can I have some?
Yeah, and seriously, whatever he's
if you can, if you can track him down, I have no communication with him.
That's unfortunate. He's almost like a keeper.
It sounds like both of you are in your own little worlds in your first few years of New York.
Yeah.
As opposed to who else's world?
You know, the freaking disgusting street out there that you're spit into every day.
Well, college is sort of, it's a very insular...
Yes,
like,
I mean...
Even in New York City, like, you still have your classes and
like
your programs.
Like, what do you guys call it? Like, a quad was Washington Square Park.
It's amazing.
And
with homeless people.
With homeless people.
And drug dealers and dogs. And
yes.
Did you have, like, resident homeless people, like homeless guys that you knew, you got to know and helped out?
No.
Did they know your class schedule?
No, like, but
you're late. You're late to economics.
Well, there was this really short little guy. He recently passed away, and he would stand in Washington Square Park, and he'd be like, 5 minutes to class! Oh. Like, there was a whole article written about him.
Oh, that's so cute.
But speaking of homeless people, there was this one guy, and he would sit outside of the deli right by the Tisch building, the arts building. Mm-hmm. And he had girlfriends and stuff. Like, NYU students would, like, come and, like, date him. Yeah. Like, the girls that wanted to rebel against their parents. And he was this old, like, older, dirty-looking guy. But he had a cell phone and, like, a little mini DVD player. I'm like, he's fine. It was weird, though. Like, that was my first, like, people were like, oh, there's a homeless problem. I'm like, he's fine. He has a DVD player and a cell phone.
Homeless guy was Kevin. He just, like, stayed on the corner, and he knew that we'd all bring him, like, plates of food, and we'd buy him stuff at the deli and help him out. And then I would come back to, like, meet friends around that area after he graduated. And I just remember seeing him with, like, a bike and headphones and an iPod. And I was just like, where does a homeless guy charge his iPod? And what
the
is
the question was not where did he get the iPod, it's where does he charge it?
Charge it, and how does he put on more music?
That's a better question. Where does he get the music?
I don't know, but he had an iPod and he was doing very well. And he remembered me. He was very excited to see me. He was like, young blood, how you doing? I remember you when you were, like, this tall. Now you're growing. You look like a man. Can you get me a sandwich?
Let's not go that far. Yeah.
Just because you have facial hair, you do not look like a man. You
Look like a listen, vagina. I'm not saying it. He said it.
Whose vagina are you talking about?
Listen, I didn't say it. He said it, and he was looking for a sandwich, so he was doing anything to compliment me. But he was a great guy. Kevin, wonderful man, 120th in Amsterdam.
Okay, we'll go check him out and give him some food.
So I guess even though we were in this little microcosm that was NYU, the best thing that ever happened was I had a design class freshman year. And the teacher was like a nut job. But he would give us assignments and make us go to different parts of the city that we would never experience. I went up to the Cloisters my freshman year, and we had to draw things. Like, we had a sketch pad, and he would give us assignments of what to draw wherever we went. So I had to go to the 14th Street, 8th Avenue subway, where all those little men are, if you ever noticed them. He would make us go there, and he said, draw three of the characters and learn about the exhibit. Or go to the Cloisters and draw three shadows. It was very interesting, and I got to go see...
You got to see a lot of New York.
I got to see a lot of New York. And the reason he gave us these assignments, he's like, you can draw anywhere, but if I don't make you do this, you're going to stay below 14th Street for this entire year and maybe for 4 years.
Right.
So go. And it changed my life.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Did you have any moments?
That there is a world of New York above 14th Street.
Yes.
Did you have any moments in your first few years where you were like, oh my God, I'm way over my head right now? Like, go ahead, Shauna. You're smiling. Seems like you did.
So, a big part of being a freshman in New York, I'm assuming all schools, is going out. Because we don't have fraternities and sororities. People aren't going to house parties with kegs. You're trying to get into clubs at the age of 17, 18, 19. So fake IDs are a big thing. And allegedly easy to come by. So I did not have one for a long time. And then one time, a friend of mine in my dorm, her friend was coming in for the weekend, and she didn't have one, and they wanted to take her out, so that was my time. The two of us were going to go get fake IDs. A friend of a friend knew where to go in the West Village. We walk there. I don't know if I've ever told you this before. Mm-mm. So we were in a group. Everybody else had the IDs, and we were the only two that needed them, so we go into this little hut. They take our picture, they take our money, they get our information, they say, walk around the block, come back in an hour. So there's like a sex shop on the corner, we went in there, we walked and window shopped, went into a clothing store. There was probably five or six of us. Come back around an hour later, pick up our IDs, headed back to the dorm, talking about what we're going to do that night. And all of a sudden, these three men come up behind us, and they're like, excuse me, ladies. And I just assumed they wanted us to get out of their way, or maybe they were trying to hit on us. I don't know. And then they pulled out their badges, and they were FBI.
Oh, FBI?
Yes.
Whoa.
So apparently the place where I got my harmless fake ID was under investigation for terrorism.
Oh, my God.
And I had to try to identify people that I got my ID from.
Oh, my God.
And then
Did you?
Well, I was like a nervous wreck.
Did you see them on the news later?
No. I never saw them, but it was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life. I mean, that in itself is a little scary, but the scariest part was when they said, "What is your phone number and address back in Nashville?"
Oh, no.
And I said, "I'm 18. You don't have to call my mom."
Oh, my God.
That was my answer.
Chana taking down the FBI.
And they were like, "No, we just need it, you know, in case we need to ask you any further questions." I was like, "Well, here's my cell phone number. You don't need to talk to Tina."
Nothing you can say will make me feel better right now, FBI people.
So we were terrified. We ran back. We thought that our dorms were bugged. Like, people were like, "What happened?" I was like,
Did they take the IDs?
They took our IDs. And they're like, "This is a petty thing, but we can't let you keep them." So needless to say, we didn't go out that night. And I never tried to get another fake ID. Wow.
I wouldn't either.
It was
funding terrorism cells.
It was definitely a traumatic experience. And
you felt a little over your head.
I did. I was a little over my head. I was like, because for all I knew, I could have gotten arrested or
right.
had to sit in a cell. I mean, watching all those shows now.
How did you make friends right away?
I did. I got very lucky with my floor. Mm-hmm. And I had some great people on my floor. They're still my friends to this day. And I remember there was, during welcome week, they had different activities, like Max was saying. Mm-hmm. And one of them was you got to try out some of the different workout classes at the gym. Mm-hmm. And our floor was very open, and like a lot of people just leave their door open so you could like see.
There were no such offers at JTS.
No.
For gym programs.
So one day, the girl across the hall from me within the first week comes over. She's like, "My roommate and I are going to go check out belly dancing. You want to come?" She's like, "The girl down the hall is going to come too." And I was like, "Okay." So the four of us went to belly dancing, and two of those three girls are two of my best friends to this day.
Yay. Wow. Who are they?
My friend Jen, who lives out in L.A., mm-hmm. where she's from now, and then my friend Liz, who lives a block away from me.
All because you were brought together by your, you know,
love of
openness
belly.
Of openness. Doing new things.
Yes. So, and we were like the bad people in the back that were being disruptive.
Of course.
I mean,
yeah,
we laughed so hard that day.
I don't
day.
Hang out with the good people. Up front. I only hang out with the bad people in the back.
Exactly.
Except Max. He seemed like the good person up front.
Yeah.
But that's because he had no other options.
Right. My experience with the police was nothing like your experience with
the police. What was your experience with the police?
Mine was, so my freshman year was 2003 mm-hmm. here. And after the fall semester, we all went to Rockefeller Center for ice skating.
Okay.
Super rebellious and crazy. But as we're tying our shoes up to leave, as we're finishing, we hear this big explosion.
Huh.
Yeah, so everyone's a little nervous and scared, and we go up, and when we get up there, the firemen are just putting out the last flames on this van, and the police are setting up their crime scene, and they're starting to do all the CSI stuff. And so I go up to this policeman. I was just like, so far I've been in this really nice New York bubble where everyone had been really nice and friendly, and I walk up to the policeman. I go, "Excuse me, officer, like, what happened here?" And he looks at me, "Why don't you tell me what happened?" I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, can you tell me what happened here?" I was like, "It looks like a van blew up." And he goes, "Great, my job is done. Now I can go home. Wrap it up, boys." And I was like, "Oh, lesson learned. Never ask a policeman a dumb question.
Let
them do their work." And I just backed away slowly. And my friends were like, "What'd you learn? What'd you learn?" I was like, "I learned don't be an asshole.
Don't be an idiot."
"Oh, yeah. My job is done. Okay, back it up, boys." So, but it was great because it alleviated. Like, 2003, we're all like, "Oh, my God, could it be terrorism? Could it be, like, a failed plot?" Right. But I was like, "Oh, when the cop is being a jerk about it, I'm like, all right, everything's okay.
Yeah, we're safe.
The world is okay."
What was it like? Because I feel like when you moved to New York for college, you like half move, but then when you graduate college, like reality sets in, and then reality sets in a pretty tough city. Like, how was that for you guys, that transition? Because I moved here a year after college. I did a year like living above a bar with my best friend Isabel. We lived in an above an Irish pub in Boston.
And this isn't about you. I'm just kidding.
No, but I lived there for a year, saved money, you know, got comfortable, moved to New York. I still only managed to move with $2,000, but that's because I like blew my wad at IKEA because I was like, I'm 23, money grows on trees, buy all this furniture. Now I'm like, oh yeah, we're gonna get a free light bulb. All right, you rent a car, I'll steal the car. Maybe he'll give us a pen too. Money doesn't grow on trees.
Oh, we get our friend's old coffee table. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. This is amazing. New York is amazing.
I don't know about you, but the way I did it was I spent 2 years in the dorms. Mm-hmm. And then my junior year, I got an apartment with a girl. So I kind of...
With who?
This stupid retard that...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we were roommates. Well, we were suite mates, because that's a term. Thinking about it now, you call your roommate the person that lives in the room next to you, if you have, like, a two-bedroom. At the time, a roommate was the person in your room, and a suite mate was, like...
And
if
apparently you were sleeping in between them in a bed.
Oh, yes.
Old habits die hard.
I never thought you'd be part of an Asian sandwich. I'm very surprised. But
first
I
and last.
Yeah, I won't say anything else.
She learned that that was not her type.
Yes, I learned very quickly that I had a type, and it was not that.
You did turn a guy, right? But we don't have to get into that.
I turned him gay.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Not Asian.
That'd be interesting if you turned him Asian.
There was definitely one. I actually ran into him on the street the other day. And every time I run into him, I'm with
I ran into him with you once.
Yes, and... The other night I ran into him with Angeline Borsix, and the same thing happens. Like, people see our awkward energy. It was worse this time, though, because he was with his boyfriend, and he introduced me to his boyfriend. And, of course, I go into awkward mode. I'm like, well, if you ever want me to be in the middle, let me know.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Freshman year.
I guess Shauna's specialty is the middle. That's her move in bed. She's like, I can do the middle.
Whoever gets the king size bed next weekend, I'll be in the middle. So there was, I think it was like a fall break or something where a lot of people were gone, but because I couldn't take a train home, I stayed at school and there was a few of us around. And I had met this guy, he lived on a different floor of my building. He was from Jordan. So, you know, I loved the conflict between us and our people. But we always
had...
Yes, it was
nothing
very...
like throwing some grenades in bed.
Exactly. Yeah. And we always just happened to do our laundry around the same time. So we became friendly doing laundry. And then one night he came over and we, like, were fooling around. And then... And this was, like, during this break... And I learned later on that during the break that after he would leave my room, because this happened a few nights in a row, he would go and experiment with a guy. And he chose men. I couldn't keep him on our side.
Didn't you lose a girlfriend after graduating college too?
I did, but not to being gay.
You just lost her because she was four blocks too west, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It was the east-west divide was too much.
Is this your best friend turned girlfriend?
Yes. So she, I graduated.
Best friend.
Yeah.
Wait, you literally broke up because you lived too far away?
What she told me, the way I tell it, maybe she would tell it differently, was that I ended up breaking up with myself. Yeah, we can find out this weekend.
Yeah.
She told me she was like falling out of love with me. She wasn't sure the relationship was holding up. I'd moved to the east side and she still had a year left in college. So she was on the west side. And it was right. I was doing my transition year into living in the city and having a day job and having not college roommates, but real roommates and all that. And so it was an adjustment. I wasn't handling it as well I should. But she told me the relationship was falling apart, and I tried to save it, and it didn't work. But the day she came over, we walked, and we sat on a bench, and she got very, very quiet. So I just started talking, and I started running through her arguments why it wasn't working and my arguments why I wanted it to work. And I was just like, well, I guess I'm screwed. And she was like, yeah.
You said, I guess I'm screwed?
Something to that effect. I don't know if it was
in
that.
A mad way or just
and
a
she just never said
way.
A word. Like, you literally did both sides of the fight.
Yeah.
You were like, all right, well, you win.
Yeah, she said nothing. So I lost to myself. I lost to myself. The one
that is the most fucking retarded thing I've ever heard. I mean, I knew you had no game, but I did not know the extent of no game that you had.
I have such little game I can break up with myself. That's how bad my game is.
Oh god. Oh wow.
You have got a winner.
Yeah. The one fun thing was she is from Texas, so walked a very slow gait, and
I'm sorry, what?
She's from Texas, so she walked very slowly. She just had a slow...
Why are people from Texas slow? Because they don't walk a lot?
That was just everyone I've met from Texas just walks slow.
Oh, just because they're like not in a hurry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've always walked...
I'm not agreeing.
Yes, yeah. Probably.
I'm not agreeing. I'm just
trying to... I don't know what this has to do with you breaking up with yourself.
No, but it was fun. We broke up and we were on a little like pedestrian bridge. And so...
Of course you were.
It's romantic that way.
Yeah, yeah. Really romantic. Right. In case it went another way.
So we broke up and I jumped off. And, but it was great. The sun was setting and it was great. The river.
Great.
And
We were walking and then I resumed my normal fast pace and she resumes her normal slow pace. And so I just...
Yeah, you know that Maryland marathon walk.
Yeah, people from Maryland tend to walk very quickly. It's scientifically proven. People from Maryland walk quicker than people from Texas.
So I think our...
But the transition, other than the breakup, the transition was actually a little easy because I moved in with my best friend from Maryland, who did not break my heart. He's still a good guy. And a guy I knew.
He's been breaking your heart this year. He hasn't been writing your emails back.
No, he's all right.
Okay.
I
don't mean to cause trouble, but there's none.
Yeah.
There's always trouble when it comes to Max's friends.
Yeah. With me and men, there's always problems. So I moved in with my best friend and a guy I knew, like friend of a friend from school. So we got our first apartment. But it took a long time to find, so I ended up staying in my dorm long after everyone else had moved out.
Squatter.
Yeah, I squatted in my college dorm, and I wasn't found out until some sort of graduate school program was supposed to start, and the cleaning guys came in to like make sure everything was clear, and they're like, oh, Max, what are you still doing here? I was like,
you mean frozen. The cleaning guys knew you were there. You just made the mistake of not paying them off.
Yeah.
Should have had a Russian girlfriend then.
I know. Yeah. I wish I
know how to shut people up.
I wish I'd known. I wish I'd known Russians, and I wish I'd watched The Wire at that point, because I would have known how to grease the wheels. But yeah, the doorman knew I was there, but they just assumed everything was fine. But the maintenance guys didn't know, so I just ended up having to pay like an extra fee or whatever. But I was working. I had found a job right before I graduated. Just started working. And just working with a broker to find the apartment. Mm. So that was it. And it was a fine year. It was the first year after college that was rough.
That's what I'm asking about.
2 years after college was rough because that first apartment fell through and that's when I had to find Craigslist roommates.
Oh.
I've done that.
And that's...
I ended up with an alcoholic pothead.
Ooh. I ended up with...
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I've lived with, I think, two or three people with like clear psychoses.
So you lived alone?
Yeah.
So
once I was diagnosed with schizophrenia.
So guys, could you picture yourself living in another city? And don't say yes without telling me what city.
No. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Because people are like, yeah, sure, I could live other places. And I'm like, wait, don't walk away. Where could you live? And then they can't answer me.
I definitely could never go home again.
Okay.
And
though you've been contemplating it sometimes.
Well, that's just in my depressions.
Yeah.
My bouts, we'll call them. but we're medicated now.
Yeah,
we're
good. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, you owe me some pills. All right, anyway, whatever.
Anyway.
Offline. I'll take it offline.
I could never go back to Nashville just because I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst. But apparently it's getting better.
Do you find a lot of people you knew from high school are all like Facebook friends and hanging out and still good friends? Or are you not aware of that?
I'm aware of it. Well, I mean, I was invited to a wedding and like half my guy friends are all in the wedding.
So oh.
They're all friends still.
I friended a bunch after I joined Facebook. I found all these people from high school and they're all like every weekend are like pictures of them all hanging out and their besties hanging out and they're at each other's bridal parties. I'm like,
I mean, some of my good friends
besties?
Are
besties. Did you just say besties? Seriously?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Without irony? Okay.
Correct. And they're nice. I had no beef against these people. I'm just like not
beef and besties. Go fuck yourself.
Okay. Me, myself, and I.
I mean, some of my best friends are still from high school. Well, yeah.
Could you live, Max, in another American city?
American city.
I know I could live in Europe and almost anywhere.
Yeah, I could probably do Italy pretty well.
I could do Italy, Spain,
but for forever,
Greece. I don't know. Forever changes when you get there, because when you get there, it's all you need. It's that pure stuff of life, and not this. I mean, I'm basically at the point where I almost faint on the subway daily. You've seen me in those spells. It's scary.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
I always say I could live in Chicago.
Really? Have you been there?
Yes. Chicago is my father-daughter place.
Oh.
It was a cheap Southwest flight from Nashville to Chicago. So we would go, the two of us, we'd go to Cubs games and to Second City a lot.
Oh, so your father influenced humor in you.
I mean, he has done a lot for me.
That's great.
Good and bad.
Right. He babysat your luggage at NYU when you were in the 8 different lines.
And that's important. Cried inside.
Yeah. Well, no, he cried outside when he was leaving.
Aww. Yes. Neil, we love you,
Way
Neil.
To go, Neil.
We would go to Chicago a lot, and I love it there. I mean, the winters are so brutal, but I think it's...
The winters are real brutal.
Here.
Ooh. No, there.
Oh, yes.
And the summers are brutal. They're worse than here.
No, I feel like everyone thinks their seasons
Chicago
are brutal.
In July so much, it's Ooh. Bad.
I love it there.
Okay.
I would like to try Chicago. I guess I could maybe do L.A. just because that's where so many comics go.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
I don't know. They go and disappear.
Yes.
Or they go and end up like with their own show on E!, but there's no like middle ground to develop.
Yeah. I don't know if I could live anywhere else. I feel like I don't know if you feel this. I feel like a lot of my love and infatuation with New York from when I first moved here has sort of simmered.
Yeah, mine has.
Like I love this city, and I'm here for a long time and a long term situation, but it's not like this is the greatest city. There's no place better.
It's
this
like
is
a marriage,
right?
You're like, I don't know where else I'm gonna go, so I'm gonna stay where I know.
This is my life. I'm comfortable.
I still love it.
I know. I think it's a lot of fun, but I think the problems are starting to build up to me. Where I'm just like, I can't believe she snores. I can't believe.
I don't snore.
I didn't. No, I referenced the city.
Oh, the city.
Oh, yes.
I can't believe the trash just piles up on the side. I can't believe the bums peeing in the subway. Like, but I was like, I don't know.
I have my mom.
I don't know what I would do without bums peeing on the subway. Like, that's what I'm comfortable and used to.
On my way here today, a woman let her dog shit on the sidewalk and didn't clean it up. And I, like, yelled at her and she ignored me. So I felt weird.
One day you'll get to a point where you yell at them and then they correct and they be like, all right, fine. I just don't want to deal with her craziness. I'll pick up the shit.
I mean, I definitely have my moments, like when a car cuts me off and I have the walk signal. I hit cars now. So
nice.
That's
a high five.
A little cranky.
I like that. See, if I did that, maybe I'd get my anger out.
No, I definitely
and I
do.
Wouldn't like, you know, put it in and get dizzy.
Right. No, yeah. You definitely
still
have to
try
hit
to be
something.
Polite. Oh, I don't hit anything. That's the secret.
Hit okay. things. I mean, Beautiful. I go to kickboxing and
I want
to
hit cyclists. Those guys on bikes. And women. This isn't a sexist thing. Anyone on a bike is horrible.
I know.
But when people come to the city for the first time, I get such joy in showing them all of the places.
Yeah.
And I tailor it to their interest or their age group or whatever. But I get such joy in seeing... Because I remember how exciting it was for me that I... love to give that to other people.
And how important it was to have a fairy godmother. That's what Allison was to me, that she showed me all these things I would have never seen and give me all these things. And
see, I went to school, so I didn't really have that for a while. And then Adrian came along, our friend Adrian, and kind of became a fairy godfather later on. And I definitely experienced a lot that I wouldn't have in college without him.
Yeah. I mean, I still get inspired by the view. Like, I came here, I wanted to move to New York because I saw Annie Hall when I was like 9 or 10. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But just the way Woody Allen loves New York, whenever I see a street out of like a Woody Allen scene, I'm like, right, that's why I live here.
Yeah.
This is the most beautiful view I can think of. And that's incredible. And that's why I'm here.
Chana Spielberg, Maxwell Cohen, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.